Welcome to I Can Ship It. We're your host. I'm Annette.
And I'm Ashley.
And today we're going to venture into Way Hot, which canon ship from Wynonna Earp that is made up of one Nicole Hott and one Waverly Earp.
Cool. I mean, okay. Way Hot is our jam. It's so refreshing to see, LGBTQ relationships that are canon and not ones that we have to write fan fiction about. For this one, we actually get visuals, okay? We get actual television content on this shit. So, I mean, it's great. Like, I don't know what else to say about that. It's Wynonna's little sister and a police officer, Nicole Hott. Their story is kind of interesting in the sense of when Nicole is introduced, Waverly's already been introduced in the first episode. So you kind of get a little bit of her background. She's dating this dude.
A douche.
Yeah, he's a big douche. Oh my God. I feel like we're actually insulting douches by saying he's a douche. He's so terrible. So we know a little bit more about Waverly. Like, Nicole is introduced and she's introduced in episode 2, and we don't really know much about her, just that she's a cop. Like, that's literally all we know is she's a cop and she's got this amazing swagger. And like, episode, like, y'all, if I had this, my life would be so much easier as far as when it comes to the dating scene. Y'all, I've been crushing on this person for like years, all right? And I don't have the courage to tell her because there's a lot of drama there. But if I had Nicole Hott swagger, I'm pretty sure I would be in a better position than I'm in now.
You'd have done walked up into that one and told her how you felt.
I mean, you know, the door, it was open at one point, and I chickened out. I ain't gonna lie. I chickened out. But if I had Nicole Hott swagger, like, I feel like that should be a t-shirt, Nicole Hott swagger. Like, it's like, I'm gonna tell you guys right now, on this pod, I love t-shirts. So on this pod, you're gonna hear a lot of times with us saying this should be a t-shirt, and that's definitely it. Nicole Hott swagger. You heard it here first. Mm-hmm. Anybody makes that shirt, they totally stole it from us. But the first time we meet her is her first interaction with Waverly. Yeah. And this swagger, she comes in this bar, like, she going in here, doors closed. She knew that bar was closed. Like, what bar is open at 10 o'clock in the morning? No.
Like, look, she knew who Waverly was, and she wanted to go and make sure that she could say hi with no interruptions. That is what it is. She's like, this girl has got me tripping. I have got to go meet her. And you know what? I don't know what her status is or anything, but I just need to know her.
Yeah, this bitch went in with some research. Like, she knew she was the town sweetheart. You know, she knew where she worked. Like, I mean, she, like I said, she came prepared. This was a test, y'all. And she was prepared. She studied her materials and she was prepared to talk to this girl. Like, y'all, I don't know if you've ever tried to approach somebody, but if you do your research, it definitely helps, because then you can figure out a way to get your foot in the door, as you would say, and possibly make something happen, make a connection happen, you know? Like, kudos to you, Nicole Hott. You did your homework. Like, again, that swagger plus that homework, oh my God. Like, damn, dude. Like, just, Nicole Hott swagger. Yeah. Make a t-shirt. It's great.
Well, the thing is, when they first meet, when Nicole and Waverly first meet, as a viewer, we know something is going to go down. Like, you know, we've watched enough TV. We know a meet cute when we see one. And it is honestly like we delved into that in the previous episode. But in case you haven't listened to that one, you know, like Ashley said, so the thing is, when Waverly and Nicole meet, as a viewer, we've watched enough TV, like, we definitely know that something is going to happen between these two characters. It didn't matter that they were two women. It didn't matter, you know, who it was. Nicole and Waverly were going to go somewhere. Like, I remember as soon as I saw them, I was like, oh shit, Way Hot's about to happen. Mind y'all, we are 2 episodes into this show. Like, we should have known this, but they had this very organic meet cute that usually we only get to see for heterosexual couple. Mm-hmm. And it was so precious. Like, Waverly is completely beside herself, undone, flustered, can't deal with it. ends up getting squirted with the taps because they're broken. So, you know, her tight little white flowery shirt is all soaked. She's like, oh, I gotta change. And she's so embarrassed. She's like, Officer Hot, do you mind turning around? So, you know, Nicole turns around. Total, you know, woman doesn't try to take a peek or anything like that. And then Waverly gets the damn shirt stuck on top of her head. And she's like, Officer Hot, a little help here. So Nicole goes around the bar to help her take the shirt off her head. And I'm telling you, the heat that came off that screen, like, you could just feel it. The chemistry between Dominique Provost-Shockley, who plays Waverly, and then Kat Burrell, who plays Nicole Hot, like, it is palpable. These are just two people that, when they're together, it's fire. And it doesn't matter if it's, you know, this cute little hot scene like this, or if they're totally being, you know, sweet, or even if they're, you know, fighting. Because let's face it, all relationships have fights, so they do go there. True. But, yeah, I mean, to see this woman-loving woman couple just grow, just boom, right in our face, and you're like, oh shit, this is a thing, it's gonna happen. I mean, I was here for Winona, but you know what, this is about to be some fluff on top of my already badass Sunday.
Very true. I mean, it's just like seeing in this was episode 2, like, there was no buildup, there was nothing that, like, hinted that there, you know, may be a representative.
Waverly had a boyfriend.
Yeah, so, I mean, we were like, all right, whatever, straight people all around, you know, story of our lives, watching TV. But, and then all of a sudden, here comes this redheaded cop with this, like, badass swagger into this bar to go talk to Waverly, and you're like, dude, like, are the gays gonna get what they want? And you damn well know we're gonna, because Emily Andrus loves her some gays. So,
yes, she did.
You know, so here she come with this swagger, this cool, this chill, and she's hitting on Winona's kid sister, which is just, that's hilarity in and of itself. But and they just have this moment, and then, like, okay, so let's back up. So when Nicole walks into this bar, like I said, she did her homework. She walked into a bar at 10 o'clock in the morning. All right, this is a small town, y'all. So you know exactly when everything in said town opened. So she knew good and damn well that this place was not open. She was like, oh, the door was open. Bitch, so you checked the door? Like, come on, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. You checking the door of a bar to see if it's open? Get GTFO, okay? And she walks in talking about she's trying to order a coffee. There's a coffee shop 3 doors down, and you went to the bar to get a cup of coffee. Nobody goes to a bar for coffee.
No. Like, nobody you go that. To drink, and it ain't you coffee, go. You're drinking.
Exactly. So she went in with a plan. She had a strategy, right, to go talk to this woman. And she goes in, and she does talk to her. And you just, like you said, you see the fireworks. You're like, okay, this is actually about to happen. Like, you know what? I'm here for it. Like, I was here for Winona. That's what brought me in. That's what's keeping me. But then you have this extra nice little way hot Sunday on top of everything else that you got going on. And you're like, you know what? I accept that, and I approve, so let's go ahead and do it. And, you know, the episodes kind of progress, and as they progress, you start seeing Nicole a little bit more and more, and you're just like, y'all, she is smitten with Waverly. Like, I mean, from
Nicole is a puppy. Like, oh, yeah. I mean, she's got these big, beautiful eyes anyway. But, I mean, you just see this look. Anytime she sees Waverly or is around Waverly, like, you just see her, like, she would do anything for this woman just to be with her. Because, I mean, it's not, honestly, it doesn't give us the drama of a coming out. Thank God. Like, you know, Waverly does have to deal a little bit with, oh, you know, this is who I thought it was. But you know what? I really dig this chick, so who gives a shit? You know, it's not that big of a deal. The biggest thing for Waverly is that everything in her life has been changing. And this is just one more thing. So, you know, it takes them a little while, and they have to work to get to where, you know, it's just this amazing. It is. It's an amazing relationship. It's honest to God is. It is probably one of the most well done, I don't know if I want to say fan service-y, because sometimes it does feel like we get a little fan service with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing of the matter is, we know that it can't be perfect all the time. And we know that Nicole and Waverly are definitely going to have to go through some drama, because let's face it, we ain't here to just watch domestic bliss. We have to have some drama. There has to be something for us to tune into every week, you know?
Yeah.
And,
like, yeah. You mean they, and every relationship starts out like that. Like, you know, you have the honeymoon phase, whatever, you're so into the person, and, you know, you're growing your relationship and everything. And that's how how Nicole and Waverly, they start out. And, like, you know, Nicole, she was like, she pretty much made her intentions clear from that visit. Like,
yeah.
I mean, now, okay, so funny fact about myself. I never know when women are flirting with me. I never do.
Like, witness firsthand. Can verify.
Oh my God. I never know.
Bitch for that. Like, it is.
I don't. And Annette saw the fact that I had zero clue that this was happening to me, right? So I never know. Like, I'm generally just a nice person. Like, I'll talk to just about anybody. Y'all, I talk for a living. Like, that's just who I am. I talk. So I don't know if somebody's just being polite or they're actually flirting with me. So, you know, Nicole walks in there and she starts literally almost immediately after saying her name, she's just throwing in the game. Like, she's spitting game left and right. And, like, Waverly, unlike myself, she actually is picking up on some of this stuff, right?
Yes, yes.
So that's why she's all flustered and, you know, getting all out of control and can't really figure things out and everything like a prudent human being should. And I mean, I love watching that dynamic. And so as the episodes progress, you know, Nicole makes these appearances here and there, and she always has little things to say about Waverly, or she has a smile, or she's, you know, like, there's an episode where Wynonna is in a hostage situation, and Nicole, you know, being a cop, she shows up on scene and she sees Champ's truck, and she's like, yo, that's Champ's truck. And then they have a little conversation between her and Dolls, and she's like, hey, I'm going to give Waverly a call and let her know what's going on with Wynonna. Like, she's a cop, y'all. She's in the middle of a hostage situation,
mm-hmm.
and she's trying to go tell her future girl that her sister is in peril. Like, she takes the time to do that. So, you know,
you were talking about that scene. Another thing about Dolls and Hot, when they're like, isn't that Waverly's boyfriend's truck? And because Dolls is the one's like, you mean Waverly's boyfriend? And Nicole goes, unfortunately. And she just throws that shit out there. Like, she is disgusted with this dude being her boyfriend.
Oh yeah, she's so disgusted with it. And, like, I mean, we know why. Like, even yeah. though we're digging the way Hot, the fact that Champ is just, oh my God, he's just the worst.
Champ is the worst. So, like, the fact you just can't root for Champ at all.
At all. Like, at all. Like, I don't have a problem with bisexual relationships. So, I, you know, hey, if he was actually a decent human being, cool. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's fine, you know. But the fact that he sucks so bad, you're just like, oh my God, Waverly, open your eyes and just go be with Nicole. Like, she's not a terrible human yeah. being like this fool is. Like, and he's a fool too, y'all. Like, fool is a strong word. So he is a fool. Like, dude is a fool. Like,
yeah, like, we very much, we deal with the will they, won't they, or we know they're going to, but it's like a when, because mm-hmm. we have to see Waverly get ready to, you know, take on that relationship.
Yeah. And it does. Like, it you see her prepare to be in a relationship with Nicole, and she has some struggles. Like, I mean, anybody who's trying to figure out their sexuality and that kind of stuff, everybody goes through struggles. Even if you're not, like, if you're hetero, you still go through struggles. I mean, that's just relationships, but you're dealing with another person. Like, it is what it is. You're gonna deal with some hurdles, you know, trying to figure things out. And that's just one example where Nicole goes out of the way. Then, you know, a family friend of the Earps dies, and she goes to the funeral to, like, go check on her, and just little things, like, little itty-bitty things that Nicole does just because she's a good person just in general.
Yeah,
but then there's just the extra, yeah, it's just the extra little bit, you know, that helps her throw out a little bit more game. And, you know, Nicole Waverly is seeing this, and, you know, she's feeling it, and Champ is just getting more and more on her nerves. Like, that one scene in season one where it's at the funeral and Nicole's yeah. like, your hand, she's like, I'm here for you if you need me, whatever. And then, like, Champ shows up and is, like, kissing the side of her head, and, like, the hard eye roll of Waverly. Like, I'm pretty sure Waverly saw the back of her skull. She rolled her eyes so hard. Janet
thinks that, you know, Waverly's bothered because he was almost hurt. No, you dumbass. She is sad because, you know, Shorty just got kicked. Oh, he's such an idiot. I can't deal.
Yeah, like, he's just, oh, God, he's so bad. But, you know, so Nicole just does these little things, and more Waverly's starting to realize, you know, that this, I mean, hey, this is actually a really great human being. Like, she's got her shit together, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, second of all, she's not running around like a child. And, you know, she just, these little things that she genuinely cares. And, you know, because Champ's all about Champ. Like, he wants his, you know, barefoot, smoking hot bod, beach bunny, you know, and that's it. Like, there's nothing else that he's aspiring to. He's not, there's nothing, he has no goals. He has, I mean, there's no aspirations, no nothing. And Waverly, you know, clearly she has aspirations and she's doing something with her life. And that's hard. Like, if you ever dated somebody and they have no goals, like, unless you have no goals yourself, then that's the only way you're going to get along. If you have goals and your significant other doesn't have any goals, it is very hard to try to have a relationship. Because it's like, okay, well, if you're not aspiring to anything, what makes me believe that you're going to actually try to move our relationship to the next level or move our relationship to something else when you have no goals to do anything else in your life? Like, what's that about? Like, you know, and Waverly realizes this, and eventually, you know, she dumps him. Thank God. Oh, my goodness. Thank God. Even, you know what? Even if Waverly would have ended up with no one, the fact that she got rid of Champ.
That was some growth.
That was growth. Like, that would have sufficed. I mean, Nicole, I mean, awesome. Don't get me wrong. But the fact she got rid of Champ shows her growth. And then it's like, okay, she's now prepared for something more. And so you see that growth, and she finally dumps Champ, and Nicole, so she's kind of setting her sights, as you say, on Nicole. She's not quite there yet. She's still trying to figure things out. And then there's that episode, Annette, you might know the number. It's the episode where Waverly, I think it's episode 7. Waverly has a house party for a friend for her engagement. Yeah. And, that's season 1, episode 7. And she, at the end of it, you know, Nicole comes out because she hears, you know, Waverly's in peril. So, naturally, she comes out, and there's this, like, scene where Nicole is looking up at the porch of the Earp house.
Yep.
And Waverly's looking down at Nicole, and they share this, like, little look. And Nicole, like, grins at her. And then Waverly, like, waves and kind of smiles. And, like, but, like, even the facial expressions of the eye contact, like, kudos to the actresses, because that was some serious fire just looking at each other.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, the thing of it is, from that episode, you know, we see those glances, and she gets that little smile from the front porch until, you know, the next episode, Wynonna is missing. And then Doc actually finds Nicole. Nicole ends up in the hospital. And Waverly's there to check on Nicole. Yes, they're looking for Wynonna. But, you know, they're questioning her, asking her, you know, asking Nicole what's the last thing she remembers. Mm-hmm. She dead on looks at Waverly and says, Waverly Earp smiling at me from her front porch. Boom. I mean, Waverly has to walk out of the room. Yeah, she is upset because her sister's missing. But, like, Waverly cannot deal with what just came out of this woman's mouth.
Bro, I'm telling you, dude, like, God. Nicole, like, and I don't think a lot of people realize this. I feel like this is some revelation on our part. Uh-huh. How much game Nicole was damn near dead. And first thing she says is, the first thing I remember is seeing Waverly Earp smile at me. Now, come on. Like, that is a serious game, y'all.
She's just being honest, though. That's the thing.
I know. Which, like, makes it an even stronger game. Yeah. Like, when your game is actually truth and not just a game to try to get somebody to talk to you, like, that comes across even stronger. Like, I mean, again, I'm oblivious to a lot of this shit, but, like, I know when I'm spitting it, and I'm like, don't get me wrong, I don't spit game just to spit it, but, like, if I'm actually doing it, like, it's actually genuinely what I want to say, and the amount of success I've had with that, with the little bit of relationships that I've had, like, when it comes from a genuine place, it's so much better. Like, And she genuinely, like Annette said, she genuinely is so into her that, like, that is legit the first thing she probably remembers, because that's the last scene that we see her in.
Yeah, so it is.
Continuity, people. All the continuity that just happened just there, you know. So, God, just swagger, man.
But, yeah, and I mean, you know, there's still, you know, we get through that episode and, you know, and I'm not going to lie, like, we've seen this so many times. Like, if we get the episode numbers wrong or, you know, just the place of it, you know what? You can let us know. Don't yell at us. We all know the show. We know what happens. But, you know, we kind of get into eventually the part to where Nicole and Waverly are having this talk outside the police station. And, you know, Waverly's finally, she's like, you know what? I'm going to tell her. I've got to go talk to her about this, because Waverly has had this conversation with Gus. Now, Gus is their aunt, and with Waverly and Winona's aunt. Gus has already picked up that there's some shit going on between Nicole and Waverly, even though nothing has actually happened yet. She knows that these two women are into each other. But, you know, Gus is going to give Waverly this money to start a new life, you know, do what she wants to, live what, you know, she wants to choose to do. And Gus tells her, like, you know what? You've always been an honest kid. She's like, don't stop now. And she said, you know, said, go and live your life. Said, do the things you want to do, you know, be with who you want to be. And the way Gus emphasizes, you know, Gus knows about her.
Oh, totally. She totally knew.
She totally knew, dude.
Totally knew. Like, no doubt in my mind, she totally knew.
You know, and so Waverly decides, hey, I got to go tell Nicole this stuff. And I'm going to be honest with you. I may be out of order on this, and if I am, I know somebody will correct us, but because I've seen it so many times, but I'm trying to place the order of how it goes, because I remember the Gus conversation, but then I also remember the conversation where Nicole and Waverly are having this conversation outside of the police station.
And the continuity is correct.
Okay. Waverly is, you know, she's going to tell Nicole, like, hey, you know, I understand, you know, there's something happening here between us, there's this and that, but Nicole is totally on a different subject. Like, Nicole is thinking about all the supernatural shit and the weird shit that's going on in purgatory, because, you know, you've got the demons, you've got these revenants, you've got, I mean, it's just a buttload of crazy that goes on in this town, and, you know, Hot's like, something's gotta be done about this. So they're completely on two different subjects. And Waverly is saying, you know, she's like, I only started realizing, you know, this when I was with you. And Nicole's like, well, everybody has to know. And Waverly's like, I don't think so. You know, Waverly's talking about liking this woman, where Nicole's talking about all the strange shit going down. And
classic miscommunication.
Yeah, like, the miscommunication is hysterical. But the line that comes out of Waverly's mouth, Waverly is like, well, I only just kind of discovered it with you. And Nicole's like, with me? And she's like, you know, I'm nothing special or, you know, magical. And Waverly's like, well, yeah. She's like, I know you're a lesbian, not a unicorn. Nicole's pissed. Nicole, like, girl thinks Waverly is making fun of her and, like, storms off, you know? And Waverly's like, oh, shit, I think I'd had better luck with the unicorn.
Yeah. Like, I mean, even their banter is, like, is just fun. Like, that whole scene, and, like, Nicole storms off, and, you know, she does, Waverly does, like, man, I would have better luck with a unicorn. And then the camera, like, pans over to some other things, and they go back to them, and they're sitting in a squad car, and they're, like, trying to have, you know, a serious conversation about what's going on and everything. And Nicole's like, wait, what are we talking about? She's like, all right, let's figure out exactly what we're talking about, so we can both be on the same page. They get on the same page, and then typical, and it's not, typical is kind of a bad word, but as normally, you know, when you're trying to figure out your sexuality and stuff like that, you always have those questions of, well, maybe it's like a phase. Maybe it's, you know, I'm just really attracted to your personality and not really attracted to you per se, but just, you know, your magnetism, as you'd say. And so Waverly's having that wavering, for lack of a better word, moment.
True story.
where she's trying to figure this thing out, and Nicole's like, I would never pressure you into anything, and like, there PSA for the day, y'all. Don't pressure anybody into anything. When they're trying to figure shit out, you know, be respectful of that. Kids, I highly doubt kids are listening to this because we cussed way too much for anybody under the age of 18. But kids, peeps, never pressure anybody into anything. Like, if somebody's trying to figure out their sexuality and trying to figure out what's going on, you know, with that aspect of their life, like, that takes time. Like, and it's a scary thing to approach and figure out about yourself. So, you know, never pressure anybody. The more you know, okay? But anyway, back to our regular scheduled programming. You know, Nicole's like, I would never pressure you in anything. And, you know, Waverly, she's having that spiral, y'all. She's having the realization moment that a majority of us have had, where you're like, oh, shit.
She's got the gay panic.
Yes, the infamous gay panic. She's like, oh, shit. I'm really digging this chick. It's not her magnetism. I'm actually digging her. And what does that say about me? Like, what the fuck? Like, that's exactly what happens in that scene in the car. And, you know, and in respect to Nicole, she's like, okay, well, you need to figure shit out. Like, you have to. Sometimes you have to give it a little bit of tough love, too. Like, you gotta, it's a very fine line to you know, teeter on. But, like, at the same time, you have to give them a little tough love to be able to push that person into really doing that introspective look and figuring things out. And so she's like, well, you know, you figure it out. Because Waverly immediately backpedals. And she's like, well, can we just be friends? And Nicole's like, eye roll. You know, she's like, oh, yeah, okay. Like,
yeah, sure, Waves, whatever.
Yeah, sure, whatever. You know, and then it goes to something else. But, like, I love that scene in the car because everybody at one point has experienced this. Like, I mean, my own personal, like, thing, like, you know how many boyfriends I had trying to figure out what the fuck was going on with my sexuality? Like, oh my God, you know, but you have that moment, you have that situation when you're trying to figure things out. And then at the same time, the person that you may be attracted to might be somebody who's a gold star or who has been so comfortable in their sexuality that it's intimidating. And it can be very intimidating, you know? So I can relate to Waverly's panic. And I like the way that they handled that scene because Nicole is just like, oh my God, you know, figure your shit out. We would be awesome together because that's what she's seeing. She's seeing the future. And yeah. Waverly is seeing the potential hills and hurdles she's going to have to go through.
Mm-hmm. But Waverly does finally get that shit together. And, you know, honestly, I think it's pretty much what, the same episode? I think it's episode 9, Bury Me With Your Guns On. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Because they have the oddball conversation. And then I think actually the conversation with Gus happens after that. And then she decides to, like, you know what? She goes over to the damn police station. Waverly is like, Nedley out. And Nicole's like, yep. The next thing we know, Waverly grabs Nicole, grabs her by the hand, walks her, I mean, just pulls her into Nedley's office, starts closing all the shades. And Nicole's like, well, Waverly, what are you doing? Like, Nicole's got this look on her face, like, what the hell is this woman doing? Like, she, something's about to go down, and she don't know what it is. And she full-on kisses this woman, pushes her on the couch, and yep. Nicole pushes her up for a minute, and she's like, wait a minute, what happened to just friends? Waverly just starts literally gay panic takes over, because she is sitting there, and she is spitting out all these, just these random, like, bucket list things, and then she kind of stops for a minute, she just looks at Nicole. And, I mean, as a viewer, we are coming undone. Forget what's happening between the characters. We are about to die because we're like, oh, shit, it's going to happen. And Waverly tells Nicole, she's like, look. She's like, you know, you want to do all these things that scare you and that terrify you. And she said, but honestly, it's hard to be brazen when the thing that you want the most in the world is right in front of you. And Nicole was like, oh, light bulb moment. And she just looks at Waverly and she's like, I scare you. And Waverly's like, yeah, you do, Nicole. And I mean, it's this moment of realization on both of them. Because Nicole's like, oh, this is why she's been so reluctant. And it's, honest to God, it's not the fact that Nicole's a woman, as we find out. Like, it is just because Waverly has never felt this way about anybody. And like this woman undoes her and just makes everything make sense and not make sense. And well, so
Champ was safe. Like everybody has that crutch, you know, that your safety net, as it were, even in relationships. Like, you know how safe it would be for me to just go get a boyfriend? Like, it would. Is it real? No.
Nope.
But it would be safe as hell. And so when you realize, you know, something about your sexuality and then you're putting yourself out there to, you know, actually really be yourself and really try to find a mate, like, that's scary as hell. Like, girl, I can relate. Trust me on that. Best believe I can relate. And Nicole has that realization, but at the same time, it's like, you know, Waverly's having this grandiose speech, and like Nicole in the back of her mind is like, she's hearing, you know, the friend zone gates opening.
Yeah.
And she's like, yes, I'm back on the playing field, you know? And, but at the same time, she's like trying to pay attention, and she's like, oh my God, like she's scared. Like, I get it. You know, and it's such a beautiful moment between the two of them. And I guess like the scene like continues, and Waverly's like, you know, I want to do the thing that scares me the most, and it's you. And then of course, typical Wynonna fashion, you have this like heartfelt dramatic moment, and then they got to throw in the comedy just to kind of twist it up a bit. And she's like, well, you know what I
that
mean?
Sounded like, so much better in my head.
Yeah. She's like, jump in here at some point. So then Nicole is like, basically, Nicole's like, I got you. Like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I got you. And then they proceed to make out on the couch, which is hot.
I'll be honest with you. This, out of every TV show that I have watched, like, when I saw this moment happen, and still to this day, this is my favorite first kiss of anybody. Oh. Like, it is just so sweet. It's so sincere and just honest. Like, it is just, I'm like, oh, you know, because they didn't have the drama of coming out. And I mean, we don't know if they're not going to have it or not, but they didn't. Like, Waverly just likes her, and that's all it is. And Nicole likes her. And you know what? That's just how it fucking should be. You like somebody, they like you, right? Just go for it.
Right? Amen, sister. Preach that shit. You know, like, and I love it when TV shows, like, have a same-sex couple, whether it's male or female or binary, whatever it is. I love when TV shows just have it happen and there's no acknowledgement about it. Like, it's just a part of life in mm-hmm. the show. Like, Wynonna Earp did it, Person of Interest did it. Like, that's how it should be. Like, I mean, we get enough bullshit in real life as it is. We gotta get the same shit on TV? Like, I mean, come on. Like, it's a fantasy show. Like, let us live our fantasy. Let us live at some point in our life. This world will just be like, oh, it's two women married? Okay. Move mm-hmm. along. Oh, it's two dudes married and they got a kid? Okay. Today's Tuesday. Like, you know, like, it's nothing new. Like, and again, like, sorry not to quote scripture, but there ain't nothing new under the sun. So that's how it should be. Like, there's nothing new about it. There's nothing that needs to be discussed. Like, there's just this beautiful moment between two people who really like each other, and they have such chemistry, and they have this moment of realization that they can be something. That's all it needs to be. Like, that's one thing Wynonna Earp does, is like, they don't really, I mean, at some point, I think it's like in season 3, they kind of address it, and it's a great moment, way hot moment. We're going to get there. But like, they have this, like, they don't really address the same-sex relationship. And then there's multiple characters that have same-sex relationships. Jeremy, which my boy Jeremy, I love you, dude.
That's my like, dude.
Oh, my God, that's my dude. But, you know, Jeremy is gay. And, it, again, it's not a thing. And especially even for a man. Like, it's even worse for a dude. Like,
Jeremy's got the biggest crush on Doc. I mean, let's not stray too far down that road, but yeah. He does. And even it don't bother Doc. Doc's just like, that's just who he is.
Yeah, you know, and so that's how it should be. And I love the fact that they had this moment where Gus is just like, be you. And it's interesting enough that the biggest, like, after they've had this moment and Nicole and Waverly are kind of, you know, exploring their relationship and everything, Waverly's biggest, I guess, biggest hurdle for lack of a better term, is telling Wynonna.
Right.
And, you know, and she's scared to tell Wynonna, but, like, it's, I don't know if it's necessarily, like, if she's scared because of that it's a woman or if it's because it's actually something real. You never really quite get that. Mm-hmm. And I like that. I like that it wasn't so focused on, oh, it's a woman, so that's why she has such a hard time telling her. But if you think about it, you know, Champ was her safety net. Champ was easy. Like, anything worth having in this world is not easy. So, right. Champ was easy. So, her setting that expectation of this dude is a goof and he's not really worth any of my time, he's not really worthy of me, she was okay with Wynonna knowing that. Like, that was okay. But then you get Nicole, where Nicole's got her shit together. She got a full-time job, okay? she got a pension, all right? Like, this chick has her shit together, right? Like, there is nothing more attractive than a woman that has her shit together. Like, I'm just saying, there is nothing more attractive than that. You know, and Waverly has such goals and ambitions and, like, you know, she just wants to do something with her life, and Nicole can meet that. And it's scary. And so, you know, this is the first relationship that Waverly's had that can actually go somewhere. And I think that was, at least in my opinion, was the biggest hurdle that she had with telling Wynonna, and the fact that she's a cop, and you know how Wynonna is with police.
That, honestly, so, that's what I think the biggest problem is, because yeah, she's a cop.
Exactly, because she's a cop. Like, everything else aside, she's a cop, first and foremost, you know? But then you have all these other elements, and Waverly's afraid to tell Wynonna, and again, it circle back to that relationship of, you know, these Earp sisters, where they're so 100% for their sister. They are down. Like, I mean, I love seeing it because it's like, it mimics so much of my relationship with my sister to an extent. It's like, if you need me, I got you. Like, that, you're my sister. Like, you're my best friend. You're my confidant. Like, I got you. And I know if the situation is reversed, my sister's the exact same way. I got you. Like, that's that relationship. And so it's hard when you have to introduce new things to the relationship and you're kind of scared to introduce that information. Mm-hmm. You don't know how they're going to take it. Like, it's hard. And so, you know, you see Waverly kind of juggling that in, you know, further episodes. And there's like that one, I think it's what, episode, I want to believe episode 9, I think, where Wynonna is like, where are you headed? And she's like, oh, I'm going to go hang out with Nicole before the poker spectacular. And she's like, what are you and Nicole best friends now? And Waverly just like looks at her and she's like, girl, if you only knew. That's the look that she got, like, girl, if you only knew.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, you know, and then she takes off. And they just, oh my God, like, it's just so great. Like, you know, tag internet. I ain't got nothing else to say.
You ain't got nothing else to say? But no, I mean, it is, like, you see... Her being afraid to tell Wynonna is, honest to God, it has to be about something real. And also, her and Wynonna, Waverly and Wynonna, had just really begun their relationship as adults, because Wynonna has been gone, you know? And because Wynonna thought she could serve Waverly better by being away from her. So they really don't have that relationship. So they're just starting to build that relationship themselves, that sister bond. And... you know, so Waverly's like, oh, shit, there's something new I got to bring into this. And so it's like these two women are the most important things that are in their life, are in Waverly's life. And she's like, oh, shit, I don't know if they can coexist.
Yeah. Especially since they're night and day, too. Like, yeah. That's a whole nother can of worms right there.
But, I mean, yeah, you know, so Waverly, naturally, she is scared. And there's that scene where, you know, Waverly got a little beat up and, Wynonna's like, don't worry, dudes dig scars, and Waverly's like, do chicks. And I mean, you see that little look on Wynonna's face, and Wynonna's like, huh. You know, like, she doesn't make a big deal out of it, but you can tell Wynonna kind of understands something else. She's like, okay, whatever. Still don't think much about it. And then, you know, God, Willa. Let's think about Willa. We're not going to stay too long on Willa, people, because, well.
Let's not, because I'll go off on a random tangent on that one.
Willa,
so.
Willa is the sister. Willa was supposed to be dead. Willa is back. Willa, we found out, was terrible to Waverly. I mean, terrible.
Horrible.
And so, she, matter of fact, she calls Waverly a gay, not lesbian, not homosexual, a gay. And she
threatens that, like, she uses that. She's like, I bet Winona doesn't know. How would she feel if her little sister was keeping this from her? So, yeah, Will is the worst. So, forget this shit. And then, but Willa doesn't tell her. So, the way Winona finds out, actually, is finale of season one. Mm-hmm. And there's this fucking stupid party that Bobo's throwing. You know, he's going to poison the town because...
Freaking love Bobo.
Yeah, I love Bobo. Because he's going to take Willa, because Willa is supposed to be the actual heir because she's the oldest, but Willa was thought dead and has been brainwashed for years. Okay, that was a quick summary, but that is what it is.
Good job.
So he's going to take Willa, walk across the line, and then he's going to be free because they're all trapped in the Ghost River Triangle. And the whole thing is Willa has to have Peacemaker to get across the line for Bobo to be able to go and not burn up. Well, Waverly, being the little smart one that she is, has figured out that Willa ain't their Willa, okay? So she switched out the guns. So
you know what that was? That was that queer intuition. She was like, something ain't right about you. I don't know what it is yet, but
So she ends up, Chrissy Nedley kidnaps Waverly because they're all the townspeople have been poisoned. So she needs the antidote. So she kidnaps Waverly so Winona will bring it to her or whatever, you know. So anyway, it's a thing to get everybody at the police station. So Nicole, you know, she's getting all her gear. She's ready to go because Winona don't know yet that Waverly and Nicole are together. And then so Winona comes in. Waverly gives her the whole spiel about the gun. Willa decides she's just had enough pretending to be the sister and straight up pulls a gun on him. Waverly and Winona standing there. Nicole walks in. Oh, and because Willa's trying to get Peacemaker from Winona. So there Nicole stands. And then Willa just looks at the sisters, and she's like, look, you're going to give me the gun, or I'm going to put a bullet in Waverly's ginger butch cop girlfriend. And Winona, you can see everything clicks with Winona at this moment. She's like, what the fuck? You know? And, you know, she's just like, oh. I mean, she's not, it doesn't bother her, but she's just like, oh, okay, 2 and 2 make 4. So, and, you know, Winona's like, you're not getting Peacemaker. And Waverly, you know, under her breath, she's like, Winona goes, girlfriend. And Waverly goes, sorta. And Nicole's like, sorta, you know, she's like, bitch, what we've been doing, you know? And so Waverly's trying to convince Winona to give Willa the gun. And Winona's like, Waverly, I can't. And Waverly just whispers under her breath, she's like, Winona, I love her. And I mean, Nicole can't hear her. And so as soon as Waverly says, I love her, Winona's like, bitch, take this gun. I'm going to come get it back from you later, but here, take it for now. You know? But Willa fucking shoots Nicole. And I have to say that because what happens? Because she
Segway. Hang on. Yeah. Pause. Let's go into a moment. I want you to go ahead and give them the deeds. I mean, we all know. But just go ahead and hit them with this knowledge in that. Go ahead.
So Willa shoots Nicole. Nicole falls down. Now, mind you, every lesbian watching this show is in a gay panic.
Yep.
Because we have just gone through the worst season ever for all of our lesbian, bisexual, any women loving women characters being killed. Like, they were killing all our ladies left and right.
Left and right.
But we did have good faith because we were told that everybody would make it to the end of the season.
And
we
didn't know. First, we trust, man.
Yes. So we were like, all right, Emily's got our back because she knew the trauma that fans had just gone through with all of this. So she shot and we're like, oh shit. What, you know, we knew she wouldn't die, but we didn't know what was happening. Waverly gets over there and then Winona runs over and Winona's like, no blood, no blood. So naturally they're thinking, oh, she's a revenant. She's a demon. She's something, you know? Nope. Mm-hmm. Bitch had on a bulletproof vest.
On a bulletproof vest.
I mean, come on. And y'all might think, well, you know what? She was a cop. No, you don't understand how many lesbian cops get killed because they ain't wearing no bulletproof vest.
Cops, firefighters, paramedics. Don't get me
started on Leslie Shay, my God.
Paramedics, HEDAs, hackers, I mean, the list continues. Like, any queer woman on television, you have a target on your back forehead, chest, arm, I don't give a fuck, whatever. You got a target on your back, or target on you, excuse me. And this bitch was wearing a bulletproof vest. If that's not the biggest fuck you to mainstream TV, I don't know what is. And you know what? We're here for it.
We were all loving it because, I mean, you can go check. You went to the archives of Twitter and any comments back then. You would see that the moment we met Nicole Hott, everybody was like, get this bitch a bulletproof vest. Like, protect this woman, you know? And here it is. And honestly, that wasn't a fan directive at all, because that damn season had already been shot when all this other bullshit happened. But mm-hmm. Emily Anders had the wherewithal to know, you know what? She needs to be in a bulletproof vest. Yep. Like, thank you, Emily. Thank
you. Which, okay. All right. Sorry. We're about to tangent here. Which makes sense. What police officer, okay, in a riot / panic situation does not have on a bulletproof vest? Mm-hmm. Oh, or any other situation. Like, every situation that had some kind of, you know, gay death at some point. But, you know, every queer character that has ever been killed, and it, honestly, it's always females. Like, that's the thing that gets me, is it's always women. Like, the dudes, like, they never get shot off and killed like we do. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand what that is, you know? And so,
it's all Emily, this bullshit that they want to give us, that the female death will further everybody else's story. Well, fuck their story.
Fuck,
I want to know her.
Bro. Yes. Fuck you. Like, so, okay. So you mean to tell me that, I don't know, maybe giving them a character arc and extending their story might actually have something to donate to the plot? Yeah, it could. But guess what? You never do it. So that's why you have some stupid bullshit of people getting killed off. Like, you guys have heard our fourth episode, our third episode, where I talk about freaking people getting killed unnecessarily so that the male can freaking, you know, we could have a whole nother episode on this.
Don't go back to Root and Harold. Don't go back.
I'm trying not to. I'm really trying not to, but that's the first thing that pops into my head. But, like, you know, thankfully, there are angels on this planet. And Emily Anders, God bless her. God, mm-hmm. Krishna, Muhammad, whoever you serve, okay? Bless her, okay? Because she had the wherewithal to realize, you know what? This is bullshit. Why is it that any queer female character or identifying female character always gets killed to, quote unquote, freaking, you know, extend the plot or move the plot along, whatever bullshit you want to say? Like, that's fucking garbage. Okay, you don't need to kill off a main queer character to further your plot. That's some misogynistic bullshit. Now, you know what? If the character gets killed within context, like, let's say if Nicole was saving the day and she got killed, I would be a little bit more okay with that, because that's within her character. But if she just gets randomly gunned down, or any queer character gets randomly gunned down, that's just bullshit. Like, come on, like, y'all, again, we could have a whole episode on us going off on that stupid shit, but we don't. I mean, you know, in retrospect, some good did come out of it. You have Klexicon, you're getting these more, you know, yep, queer-friendly cons, so there was some good out of it, but we didn't need to have it. It wasn't necessary. We would have figured this shit out before you did all that, but, you know, I just, you know, Emily Anders, hats off to you, girl. I mean... You had the wherewithal to realize a police officer in this kind of situation would have on a bulletproof vest, okay? So just randomly gunning some chick down is not going to cut it. And guess what, y'all? Guess what? You can still further the plot with your queer character still alive, because she did it, and she did it well, because that's why we got promised seasons 4 and 5. So don't come at me with no nonsense that you can't further the plot. Like,
true story.
Get out of here with that shit. Ugh.
Girl, you gonna be okay?
I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
We're okay. Fired up over the day anyway.
I am. I'm very fired up. I've been froggy all day, okay? And this is definitely one of those topics that will get me leaping all over the place. So So back to our original scheduled programming.
Yeah.
But, you know, Nicole gets shot and we realize there's no blood. Thank God for Emily Andrews. She put that girl in a bulletproof vest. And they have another moment between Nicole and Waverly. And this time Winona's there. Mm-hmm. And Nicole Waverly's holding Nicole and cradling her and stuff. And Nicole's kisses her, talking about some other shit that's important to the plot. And Winona's like, huh, you finally picked a smart one. And that's it. Like, that's the coming out story.
Yep.
Is she's just like, you finally picked somebody who's actually worthy of you. And then that's it. Like, that's Winona accepting it and moving on because she's got other fish to fry. It's not a big deal. Like I said before, I love it when shows don't make the coming out story, or if any coming out story for that matter, they don't make it a big deal. Like, same-sex relationship, it's not a big deal. Because guess what? That should be how life is. Mm-hmm. And Winona's just like, you know, cool. And Waverly, and you can kind of see it, she just has this, like, weight that's lifted off of her, and she can immediately focus on the task at hand. She's just like, all right, my boo's good. She's alive. She's breathing. Everything's cool. You know, and she's able to go with Winona and focus on getting the shit done.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is so much freer. There's so much of a freedom around her. And, like, immediately you kind of see her body language change and different things. And, like, I could be reading more into it, but Annette, did
no,
you
kind of? No, I don't think so. Okay. I'm with you 100% because she was like, oh, you know, it's out in the open. Winona knows. Winona's okay with it. And you know what? Because, I mean, she was happy, you know. And even Nicole was like, look, you need to go get your sister because she's kind of a dick. And she ain't talking about Winona. She's talking about Willa. So, you know, Waverly and Winona, here they go. And it's just, I don't know. Waverly, I think watching Waverly over season one, like, it was great to see her way hot. But seeing Waverly's overall growth and where she, you know, because Waverly kind of, she just stuck to the status quo. And then she was finally able to step out on her own here and, you know, make these decisions for herself instead of having somebody else make them for her. And yeah. She just was like, you know what? I got this. And you just see her, like, she's happy. Even though she's got some crazy shit that she's about to go do. And, you know, she's in a good place. And she knows, you know, that Nicole's with her. And she knows that Winona's with her. So she's able to be who she wants to be.
Yeah. I mean, it's just Emily Andrews, man. Y'all, watch the show. We say this all the time and every show we talk about, but we're very passionate about it because they're good shows. Like, watch the show. You'll see what we're talking about.
Well, yeah.
But, I mean, just the content is just amazing. As the season, you know, that's the season finale.
That's
you know,
season one.
That's season one, y'all. There's two more seasons, and we're already at an hour. You know,
well, yeah.
This, I mean, season two opens up with, you know, a little scene between Nicole and Waverly in the homestead, and Waverly is putting some kind of ointment or something on Nicole, on her chest, y'all. Like, damn. Like, well, mm-hmm. Under her chest. It's more like under boob.
It's under boob. Chest slipper sweater.
But, like, you know, they have this little moment, and it's just so cool, because, like, Waverly is so free. Like, this is happening on the kitchen counter, y'all. Like, that's some real freedom. You having this shit going down your kitchen counter, you know, that's some freedom right there. But she's having this moment with Nicole, and they're talking about something, and they get to flirting a little bit, and, you know, they're starting to get that vibe, and everything's going the way it needs to go, and then they start making out. And here's the thing. When you are so in tune with your partner, like, you know when something's up.
Mm-hmm.
And literally after the makeout session, Nicole's like,
You taste different.
You taste different. And she's like, well, and, you know, Waverly's like, well, I feel different. And at the end of season one, Waverly touched some goo. Like, we all know. Have you ever seen a movie? You never
don't touch the goo.
Touch weird shit. All right? Like, why would you want to put your finger in some substance you don't know what it is? Like, girl, get out of here with that. But anyway, she touched it. She got possessed by some kind of weird demon shit.
Mixion.
But, Mixion, thank you. And, you know, Nicole is like, yo, something is off. Like, I mean, she was that much in her mouth, y'all. She could tell. But anyway. But she's like, something's off. And Waver's like, I feel different, you know. And Nicole's like, yeah, that's not it. Like, there's something, you know, off. And then something happens and they get distracted. But there's just little moments that build up and build up and build up. And they finally get to their first fight. And if you've ever been in a relationship, your first fight is usually a doozy. I remember my first girlfriend, I don't even remember what I did, but I did something and she was hella pissed. Like, damn, just hella pissed. But eventually, you know, you make up and everything, and they have, like, probably, I would have to say, it's gotta be probably in my top. If I had to do top 10, probably my top 10 hottest, like, quasi-make-out first-time scenes, you know? They have this moment, and it's a beautiful moment. And
watch and consent it. Consent is sexy, okay, people?
Exactly.
Consent is sexy.
Exactly. I mean, that's just sexy as hell when you get consent, you know? So they have this moment. Go watch it, you guys, and... We usually like to say, you know what? Go on YouTube and check this shit out. No, we want you to go to Netflix and watch the whole episode. So that way they see how many people are viewing this thing so we can get some more eyes on our show, on our shit show. But, you know, they have this moment and it's a beautiful moment after they've had a fight. And it's so well, it's shot so well. And just, I mean, even for TV, like, you know how the heteros get when we have sex scenes on mm-hmm. TV. So it's not a lot, but it's still sexy. And you can see where it's going and you can use the rest of your imagination to know where it's going, you know, and it's just enough to appease the heteros and also mainly to appease us. So,
well, yeah, I mean, I think it's perfect within the context of the show because honestly, we're not, this show isn't, it's not the L word. Okay.
Exactly.
So we're going to get good love scenes, but not necessarily nude love scenes. I'm gonna be honest with you, I don't need the nude. Like, I knew exactly what was happening, and just the lead up to it, knowing how they got there, knowing it happened, and then you just, it's so good and it's so sweet and it's so tender. That's the thing of it. Like, Nicole even stops at one point because she's like, are you sure? Like, she I mean, that girl is head over heels for Waverly Earp, and she puts that ball in her court. She's like, she was not doing anything until that girl was totally ready.
For sure, for sure.
You know, as we talked about, Waverly touched the goo at the end of season one. So the first time actually happened, you know, Waverly and Nicole's first time, while Waverly was possessed by the goo. But the thing is, the goo wasn't always taken over for Waverly. Like, Waverly was so strong, like, she could fight it, but she could feel it inside her and jockeying kind of for a position of, you know, who to get, and, you know, what to do. And so Winona and Nicole, they eventually get the goo out of Waverly after they discover it. But once it's out and, you know, Nicole knows what's going on and Nicole realizes, hey, our first time, Waverly had this damn demon in her. And, you know, there was a, you know, a lot of things they did together. Some we saw, some we didn't. And, you know, Nicole is so worried because she had this conversation. She's thinking, well, you know, was it Waverly? Was it not Waverly? Was she ready? Was she not Waverly? So Nicole, you know, communication people, Nicole asked Waverly point blank. She's like, hey, like, when you were possessed by the goo, we had a lot of things that we did, a lot of things, and said, I don't know what was you and what wasn't. And Waverly reassures her. She's like, it was all me. And of course, like, Nicole, like, melts, and she's, you know, they start to kiss, and Nicole's like, well, how can you be sure? And Waverly just tells her, she's like, look. She's like, I don't remember a lot of things when it took over. She said, but I remember every second, every moment, every minute with you. And it's like, boom. I mean, I can't help it. They're so sweet, Ashley. Like,
I know. I know. It's like, you can get a damn cavity watching them together. Like, shit, man. Like, they're just so good. But, you know, everything... They have that moment, and it's such a beautiful moment because Nicole is so concerned with consent, and that's how it should be.
Yeah.
You should be concerned with consent, and it's just, oh my God, it's just gorgeous as far as that goes. You know, and they have that moment. They do the dirty. And you know, we start moving on a little bit more, and they have little moments throughout the rest of the season and everything. And then there's this is the ultimate test right here is when your significant other is down and out. And, you know, Nicole gets attacked by the main villains of season two, the Widows, and she ends up in the hospital and she's dying. Like she's actually dying. A bullet didn't take her out, but a bite apparently will. So, she's like dying and you see Waverly, and Waverly is just, she is distraught. She's like, I gotta do whatever I can to save the woman I love. And Nicole is, you know, she has to go into a medically induced coma, and she's like, I'm not going under until I talk to my boo. And they have this beautiful moment. They say, you know, I love you. And it's just, oh my God, watch it, you guys. Freaking watch it. Go on Netflix. Watch it.
They have been fighting up until this moment. Mm-hmm. You know, there was some shit that went down with some parentage papers.
Watch the show. Watch the show, people. You'll find out exactly what we're talking about. But, you know, they have this moment, and you know, Nicole's like, I'm not going under without seeing her and talking to her and telling her I love her. And she goes under, and there's some other reveals that happen. It's such a great little arc, episode arc, because you see how much Waverly cares about Nicole, how much Nicole cares about Waverly. And so Waverly, you know, like any kind of family or any person that's important to you, you're going to do whatever you can, especially when their life is in danger. You're going to do whatever you can to save them. Waverly makes a deal, you know, that's essentially betrays Wynonna, you know, and that, I mean, if that don't tell you what kind of love is, I don't know what does. If you portraying your blood, like, that's your blood. Like, Nicole ain't your blood. That Wynonna is your blood, and you're betraying your blood to try to save her. And she makes a deal to save her, and she does, but that whole arc, you just see that, oh my God, she is 100% down for Nicole and vice versa, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's absolutely nothing she wouldn't do for Nicole, like you said. Kind of a betrayal to Wynonna. Like, for me, it was more of a losing faith in Wynonna, because Wynonna had made it her mission. Like, she was going to go get... She was figuring out the anti-venom. Like, she was going to get a cure for this bite that had taken over Nicole. And, you know, she... Waverly was like, they were at the last minute. And honestly, Waverly had some people talking in her head. Dolls was like, well, you know, if we did make the deal, then Nicole would be here to help us fight the Widows. You know, the big, well, Bullshar too. You know, be here to fight the big bads. And so, you know, Dolls kind of makes it okay for her. And she's like, you know what? Fuck it. I have got to save her, because I don't know if Wynonna's going to get here. And, it, you know, she loved Wynonna. She knew Wynonna was doing everything she could, but she just... She was not willing to take that risk to lose Nicole, because Nicole, as we find out, Nicole and Waverly are meant to be. It does not matter the timeline. It does not matter what reality. Those two are for each other. And that is just the end of the story on that.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, it's, you just get, just watch the show, y'all. Like, it's just, it's so good. Like, you just have such an amazing amount of characters and the relationships between the characters. And, you know, Way Hot definitely is that cherry on top of the sundae, the whipped cream, one of the best parts, you know. It's just good. Like, there's so many parts, you know. There's season three, which season three to me, and I might offend some people, but to me, I think season three is probably the best season so far. It's so good, whether it's Way Hot or just Wynonna Earp in general. It's so good. Like, the way, especially the Way Hot parts. Like, there's some Way Hot parts in there.
Well, they're secure in their relationship. You know, exactly. They finally have hit that point to where they're like, okay, yeah, we're together. We're going to be together. And this is how this is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you have that. And you saw the character development over season two. And then it spills into season three. And you see how much each character cares for the other. And, you know, they're exiting that honeymoon stage, and on top of, you know, all the shit that's going on in purgatory, they're trying to navigate this relationship and then also, you know, survive. There's so much. And season three, like, you just need to watch it. Like, we don't want to spoil it for you, because it's a very good season. But especially for Wayhot, Winona, or whatever your poison is good. But check it out. I know, Annette, you said that there was...
Yeah, the easiest iTunes access for Season 3 would just be buy the Season Pass on iTunes. I mean, it's you can actually get all three seasons on there. That's probably the easiest for anybody that streams. I know that if you have, like, an All Regions DVD player, Blu-ray player, I did see on Amazon, because I was looking for Prime. Season 1 and 2 are on Prime. 3's not up there yet. So, you know what? Let Amazon know you want fucking Season 3 so you can watch it. Let Netflix know you want damn Season 3 so you can watch it. But, you know, if all else fails, Season 3 is on iTunes. And there are some UK Blu-rays that actually Season 3 is up there. Like, I was just shocked. I mean, I literally looked 2 minutes ago and I was like, what the hell is this? But yeah. Find it. Watch it, guys.
Yeah, watch it. It's so good. It's such a good show to support. You know, we're fighting for Winona. Hashtag fight for Winona. If you tweet, Instagram, whatever social media platform you use, if you love the show, please, you know, let people know so we can get this thing back on the air. We were promised Season 4 and Season 5. You know, we have such positive representation with Wayhot. And the show in general is just good. So do what you can. We're going to wrap up this wonderful discussion we've had on Wayhot. We hope that we've inspired you to check out the show. Check some things out. Watch it, y'all. Just watch it. Netflix, iTunes, Amazon, UK DVD, Blu-ray, whatever. Get a watch on. Let us know what you think. But overall, it's a great show. We appreciate you listening to us talk about said show and one of our wonderful ships of Wayhot. This is what we're about. You know, we love our positive representation and we love talking about it. So we'll wrap up our series on Wayhot here. You know, check us out on Anchor, anchor.fm/ICanShipItPod. We have some other episodes about some other ships and other things. We got some new content coming for you once we get some other things recorded. You know, we got some pretty good topics coming up. I'm very excited about some of the stuff we're going to be discussing.
We're going to have a good time.
You know, we had a prep session before we do every podcast episode. So the brainstorming session that we had for these next upcoming ones, we're very excited about. Can't wait to share it with you. But, you know, we have the ability to leave comments on our Anchor page. They're actually voice messages, I believe. So leave us some messages. Let us know what you want to hear, if you like what you're hearing. But
always find us on Twitter and Instagram as well. You know,
that is true.
Our socials. Yeah.
We're on the social media. We got some pretty cool content on there. Check us out. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. You know, we got all the things going on right now. So just give us a peek. Annette, what do we got as far as our handles for Twitter and Instagram?
Both of them are I Can Ship It Pod. It's ICanShipItPod. I mean, if you found us, you know how we're spelling it. But yeah, Twitter, Instagram, hit us up. We've got some photos. We're learning a little bit more how to do some more things with that. So be looking for that. We always tease with some photos, maybe able to get some videos up pretty soon. So yeah, just, you know, drop us, let us know what you like, what you don't like. This is a learning process for us. We're having fun. We literally are two friends just sitting talking about our shows.
Yeah. I mean, you got Arizona and Tennessee connecting over the internet, just talking about shit. So, hey, we want to make more friends. Check us out again on Twitter. Friend us. We're friendly people. Like, you could tell because we love everybody and everything. So, you know, friend us on Twitter or whatever you call it. Instagram, too. And that's going to do it for us today. I'm Ashley.
I'm Annette.
Thank you so much, guys. We'll catch you later. Bye.
Bye.